This is the Pure Green Podcast. A reader once told me that they loved Pure Green's entrepreneurial spirit. And it's true. We love creative people creating, makers making, the stories of their journey, and that sweet spot when they found their success. This freshly minted episode shares that same entrepreneurial spirit. But in keeping with our new issue on family, we chose to feature a community that's close to my heart because I'm part of it too. That community of entrepreneurs who are mothers and businesswomen, devoting themselves fully in all their roles and finding themselves along the way. You all inspire me. Welcome to the very first episode of the Pure Green Podcast. I'm your host, Celine McKay, the founder and editor of Pure Green, an independent magazine for inspired, conscious living. I'm really excited to be launching this podcast today. I've been developing the idea for a while now, and it's super fun to be sharing it with you. I'm really in love with the format of podcasting. When everything but sound is stripped away, I feel like you can truly connect with the medium. I love to listen while driving or working on layouts for the magazine. In this session, you'll meet a young mother who had never anticipated owning her own business, but through chance and serendipitous circumstance, she has nurtured both a business and her entrepreneurial spirit until both have flourished. Her name is Laura Lee Whitman, and her business is called Runway Exchange, a consignment store that sells cool, desirable, secondhand clothes, something we at Pure Green can definitely get into. In the show, Laura Lee and I talk about her entrepreneurial journey and what she's learned along the way, mixed in with a few tips on managing your closet, of course. With the arrival of her first child, the transition from working full-time and into motherhood was sometimes a bumpy road, but she surprised herself with how completely her heart was given over to her new baby and what that meant for how she runs her business. Laura Lee is honest and enthusiastic, and she's full of good advice for mothers juggling babies and business. This episode is part of a mini-series on creative entrepreneurial mothers, which I wanted to coincide with our current issue on family. Be sure to head on over to puregreenmag.com/podcast/Laura Lee to see the gorgeous photo essay that accompanies this episode. Let's go to the show.
My business is called Runway Exchange. It's an upscale women's and men's clothing consignment. So we take in clothes from the public and then we resell them, kind of a sustainable green business, you could call it. I've been doing it now for about 5 years, maybe six, my gosh. And it kind of was one of those businesses where I did not have a plan to open a store. It wasn't like my lifelong dream that I had. It just kind of was one of those things that you could say fell into my lap. I had worked in the corporate world for about 6 years, and they had relocated to Texas, and Texas was just not a place that I saw myself living. And so it was one of those, you know, those forks in the road in your life where you had to make a decision of, I could keep on doing what I'm doing and work a desk job for who knows how long and relocate my life, or I could just, you know, call it quits and try something new. And that's kind of how this came about in its own way, which was really a blessing in disguise, because when I fell into the business, it was kind of I was working part-time for somebody 2 days a week, maybe 8 hours, just to fill in the time for her. And then she was ready to retire. And so she asked if I would be interested in buying the business, and I hadn't gotten another job yet, and my husband and I had just gotten married, and I didn't have anything to do. I didn't want to sit behind a desk again for another 6 years staring at a computer, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day. And so we just said yes, and we jumped in, and I started doing it, and it really, really has become a blessing in our lives, because I never thought that I could juggle both of being a business owner. Well, one, I never thought I would be a business owner. It was just not in my life plan that I had for myself. And so it really has been a blessing, because it has allowed me to be able to juggle both being a business owner and now stepping into being a mom. My oldest son is 18 months and I am 9 months pregnant right now. So our second one is just about to arrive any day now.
Wow.
So yeah, that's kind of the gist of my little business.
Well, that's wonderful. And it's so interesting that it's not something that you saw yourself doing, but you've still, you've really taken it on and it's done really well for you by what Carrie shared with me. Yeah. It's a really dynamic spot that's really hopping and busy and really valued by the town. So that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, I think it filled a need. And I think we see that kind of across the country. Slowly, it's becoming more of an international thing where I think there used to be a really kind of stigma with consignment and with resale and buying used. And I think the more and more that the whole green concept catches on, the more and more people are open to buying somebody else's clothes and not always going out and buying the mass-produced clothes that are filling up Forever 21s and Macy's and eventually mm-hmm. landfills. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. there used to be a huge stigma. I remember when I was in junior high school, my mom would try and get us to be open to the possibility of going to Goodwill or thrift stores or the little consignment shops that we had there. And it was always, I always felt embarrassed when she would take me. I was like, no, Mom, I don't want to go. Just yeah. take me to Abercrombie or take me to, the Gap and let me buy jeans. And I think it's because back then, that was probably 10, 15 years ago, there were no good consignment shops. It just was not a trendy thing. It was not what the trendy people wanted to do or were open to. And they were always dirty and smelly and dark yeah. and dingy. And so I think that was kind of our epiphany when we took over this business is that, make it a place that is cool and that people actually do want to be associated with. And they're not embarrassed when they walk in the door and they come in and they get to the back of the store and they turn around and they're like, is this a consignment shop? I thought this was a store. And I love yeah. when we get that response.
Because yeah.
That's really in the presentation of how our vision. My husband has helped me so much with the business. He works a full-time job. He has his own career. But you really are married to your business, and it is a mm-hmm. child in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. You don't, lock up shop and not take it home with you. So he was always been involved with it. And when we opened up Runway, because we had another store initially, Runway was our second child, as we call it. And he really helped me to understand that it's so important when it comes to presentation, whatever you do, whatever your business is, and how yeah. you present yourself to the public and how you make them feel when they come in and making it, mm-hmm. Like for me, my example was Anthropology.
Yeah.
Love going into that store because of the way it makes me feel, not because I can go in there and buy anything I want because I certainly can't. It's way too expensive, but the yeah. feeling that you have when you walk into that store of the smell, the look, the creativity of the design and the displays, it just, you want to spend time there and you want to be associated with that store. So yeah. that's kind of how we tried to transfer that to resale so that it's not this, thrift store racks and, doing it as cheap as possible. That's probably where we invested the most in our startup with our store was the presentation, the racks, the, concrete countertops, the,
nice.
All of mm-hmm. dressing rooms and displays are done by local carpenters where there's not nails used. So there's elements of creativity that make it unique and not just your run-of-the-mill thrift store. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right, about that whole, for sure. I've been there too with the sort of stigma that secondhand clothing gets and even, some of the quote unquote upscale stores, it's still, you know, there's still an element to that. You walk in, you feel like you can smell 50 different laundry detergents. And it's just,
no,
it's definitely, yeah.
Either but, that or know, they're really, if it is a really high end upscale store, they're really snooty about it. And they don't make you feel welcome, and they don't make you feel like you even belong there, which is like the whole other end of the spectrum of resale and, you know, buying used, which is always interesting to me when I encounter that, which I do.
Yeah, really. Oh, well, so it sounds like some of the key elements that you've implemented at your store is just really making sure that the experience, it's about the experience as well as the goods, and the visual environment is really paid attention to. So, and you've invested in having quality handmade things, and it sounds amazing. I wish I was closer so I could come.
A plane flight away.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I keep promising Carrie a visit, so we'll have to, we'll definitely have to make it happen sometime soon. So how do you go about sourcing the clothes then? Do people, well, it's consignment, so people bring them to you, but how do you assure that you hit that quality that you're looking for?
I mean, we've been really blessed with a great community of people. And I think it goes back to the more and more that people kind of break off that stigma of used and resale. Because there's some amazing, you know, stylish women who live up here in the sticks where we live. And they have amazing closets, but they just don't know what to do with it when they are done. And so I think because we've created this place where they don't feel like they just have to give away their clothes or hang on to them until they're falling apart, and they actually have a place where they want to go and they want to bring them, we've been blessed in that we really, on a day-to-day basis, there's not a day that doesn't go by that we don't get bags and bags of clothes. From people who just walk in the door, or they hear about us online, or from a friend, word of mouth is probably the best marketing that is possibly out there that you can get, friends telling friends. And so it really has been, we have been nonstop, had, you know, a packed store most of the time, just from the local clientele walking in the door. We're lucky enough where we live to where we get a lot of Bay Area traffic, because we are somewhat of a vacation destination or a second home destination for the San Francisco Bay Area. And so a lot of our regulars are actually from the Bay Area, and they come to us because the ones in the Bay are either too snooty and they, you know, are super, super picky. Part of that is because of the population there and those types of stores, they can be incredibly snooty because they know the next person who comes in the door is going to bring them Chanel versus, you know, the other brands that I, from Anthropologie or whatnot, that I would love to take, because I don't, we don't get Chanel where we live, but we get a lot of amazing, amazing items. So a lot of the San Francisco people actually prefer to come to us because we're just easier to work with. And for them, I think it's fun, because then when they do come to visit for the weekend, they can come in and they can shop, or with the credit that they've built up, or they have money on hand to go shopping at the other boutiques in town. So it's just, it really is amazing how the shop fills up itself, really. I mean, because we don't do any marketing, we don't do any advertising other than our Facebook page, which we don't pay for their advertising. It's just from posting and word of mouth. And it really is incredible how much stuff we all have in our closets, and how we're constantly, constantly refilling and emptying. And I mean, it's amazing that
it is
in our town. Yeah. I'm not the only consignment shop. I'm probably one of four or five, I think.
Seriously,
in our tiny little town, there's 4 to 5 consignment shops, and we all stay busy. We all are full all the time.
Wow.
It is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I think that's, it's funny too, because I think you hang on to things in your closet thinking, I might wear this one day, you know, you really, you hang on to that, and you end up with pieces of clothing that you literally haven't worn in like 5 years, so... It's interesting. It sounds like you're a really great outlet to sort of give people the confidence to let those things go, because, you know, they know that there's a really great place for them to go, but also that there's a place that they can switch it up, which is awesome.
Well, it is, because it gives you an opportunity to be able to try out different styles without going and paying full price for something.
Yeah.
Which is great. And one of the concepts that I have held on to recently is, if I had the opportunity to buy it again, would I? And that's kind of how I go through my closet. And it's amazing. If you just spend 5 to 10 minutes and you ask yourself that question with every piece that's in your closet, I just did this last week. And I think in 10 minutes, I was able to pull at least 30 items out of my closet where I said, I would never buy this again. This was spur of the moment, or this was an impulse buy, or I bought it because I needed it for this one event that I'm never going to wear it for again. So I think if more and more people would take that to heart when when they're shopping, but two, when they get home or when they've had it for a couple of months, go through your closet and ask yourself, if I had the opportunity to go out and buy this again, would I do it? And probably most of the time you would say no, and you have to move it out. And just keep the pieces that you love, as opposed to hanging on to everything because, oh, I paid $100 for that, or this I wore to a special occasion or my grandma's birthday and it has sentimental value now. I mean, there's places for certain pieces, but your whole closet does not classify under sentimental, important, I love it, I'm going to wear it every day. And it really is incredible to see how much we hang on to just because we don't have either something to replace it with, or we don't have a place to bring it, or we have some kind of, oh, I paid too much for this, I can't let it go. So that's...
Yeah, that's so true. And that's an amazing tip. I love that tip. I had never really thought of it that way. And I would guess that most people haven't either. So I love that. Thank you for that. You know, the other thing too about consignment, or, you know, going into a shop where the clothing is secondhand, is that it gives you a really good idea of how something will wear. And I think that, to me, that's a really big problem with clothes that I have bought, or I think, you know, most clothes I find actually that is available now, is that it just does not last. After a few washes, it's just looking kind of old or ratty, even though it's not. It's literally a few months old. And I think that, you know, as a consignment store like yours, it really does give you awesome insight into how something, the quality of how something is made.
No, absolutely. And that's more so of what you will find at a lot of consignment shops, which is great, because I could not go to, like I was telling you, I couldn't go to Anthropology and just buy anything. Usually I only hit the sales racks. But when we get Anthropology in our stores, I get all giddy and excited because I'm getting it at such a cheaper price point, but I still know that the quality is amazing most of the time with Anthropology. It's hit or miss. But for the most part, and that's what you'll find with a lot of consignment shops, is that, yes, it's used, but the quality of the brands are so much better than what you could probably go out to and buy for yourself, you know, because you're paying maybe 20% of what it originally retailed for. So you really are able to get higher quality at a much cheaper price, and you're buying used, which I am all for. I used to, you know, like I was saying, had the stigma about buying used, but I am like, it's so hard for me even to go into a discount store and buy their items full price, because I know I can get better at my store and I can get better at consignment than what, because most of the stuff in the discount stores are the mass produced, made in China, cheap quality, cheap fabrics, poorly made. And I would rather wait for a better item of better quality, better materials to come into the store. And sure, somebody wore it maybe 2 or 3 times, as I know that's how most of my closet was originally. I only wore things a few times and then I was over it. So,
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, having created a magazine called Pure Green and living my life in that way, I couldn't agree more. I think that, I mean, of course, that's... it's definitely a better way to go. And, you know, I think as well, it requires a certain rewiring, because as a culture, we've been so conditioned to want things when we want them. And so it's so, you know, the immediate feedback type of thing. You know, I decided that I wanted a pair of jeans that looked just like this, and so you go out and buy them. And so I think that if we can remove that expectation somewhat and try and work on a bit of patience to wait for that perfect item instead of having to hunt it down and have it right this second, that would also probably, you know, it's necessary for people to to come around to this way of thinking.
No, absolutely. And I mean, if you do find yourself where there's an item you have to have, my rule of thumb whenever I go shopping is if I buy one item, I have to go through my closet and pick out at least 3 to 5 items that I'm going to get rid of to make room for, one, the room of that item, but then, two, to pay for that item that I just brought in. And it for me, I constantly just have that mindset of a rotating closet where if something's coming in, that means something has to go out. I can't just keep adding more and more and more. I have to edit. I have to, you know, get rid of the things that I know this new item is going to replace. Because if you're buying a new pair of jeans, there's probably 5 other pair of jeans that you're never going to wear again because you have your new favorite.
That's very true. Yeah. And then you end up with this, you know, you never know what to wear because you're overwhelmed by choice and by things that you don't really like anymore, probably.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So circling back a little bit to being an entrepreneur and, you know, how long have you been operating your business for now?
We bought our initial store from the previous owner that I worked for. I bought that in 2010. So maybe it has only been 4 years. It feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
So 2010 is when we bought our first store and then we opened our second one in 2011. Okay. So we've had Runway Exchange now for almost... We're coming on our 3rd year anniversary in November.
Okay. So you've been at it long enough. I mean, you certainly have a lot of experience under your belt now. And you started your store. Well, you bought the store before you had children, correct?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. So then did you always want to have kids? Was that always part of your,
yes, absolutely,
part of your goals?
My husband and I came from a family of 5. He came from a family or 3 siblings. I had 5. So we're hoping to hit around 4 as the middle ground for both of us. We would love to
really?
A big family. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I came from a family of 4 kids too. I'm the oldest of 4 and I don't know how my mom did it, but I mean, she was a stay-at-home mom, but still it's hard. It's a lot. And I admire you. Wow. To go for 4. That's pretty intense.
Everyone says have 1 and then reevaluate. We're on number 2 now. So I'll reevaluate with each one.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a lot more work than I ever in my mind expected it to be.
Yeah.
I remember when I was pregnant and everyone would ask me because I had the store going and I worked up until the day before he was born. They asked, you know, like, oh, are you going to go back to work? And I was like, oh, absolutely. Within like 2-3 months, I will be bored out of my mind and I will be ready to get back in the store and get to work. And here we are 18 months later and I don't go into the store ever. I work from home and honestly, it's because I enjoy my son so much and it isn't easy balancing the shop and the store, but I think because I've invested the couple of years that I had before he was born, I'm kind of in a season right now where I get to take advantage of being a business owner and being able to set my own hours.
Mm-hmm.
Having the choice really to stay at home with him as opposed to going into the store and working, which is such a blessing. And I love that we jumped on the idea of having our own business, because if I worked a 9-to-5 job, there's no way I would be able to spend as much time with my son and make these decisions. I would be on the clock. I would be on somebody else's dime and having to submit to their time frame of work. And so it really has been great.
Yeah. So it sounds like for you, having your own business was almost a freedom as opposed to, in order to do what you wanted and to be able to have children and raise them in the way that you wanted. So, you know, I think that's an aspect as well of having your own business that people, you know, it's sort of the holy grail of having your own business, you know, that you get to define your own hours and you get to pursue the lifestyle that you want. But people have to understand that just comes with such, it comes with a pretty hefty price tag because you really have to put in so much before and you have to be prepared to give it your all if you have to at any given time.
No, exactly. And it is one of those where, you know, there's some days where I don't have to touch the business and then there's other days where it's like every hour there's some problem I'm having to work with or a fire I'm having to put out. And those are just the ebbs and flows of having a business. And my husband always reminds me, because I'll go to him and be like, oh, you know, I feel bad. I haven't been in the store, you know, in a couple of weeks, or I've only gone in for an hour, or I'm only putting in a few hours a week. And he's like, babe, you have to remember, you had the shop for 3 years before you had a baby, and you worked every day. I mean, I was a workaholic. I would work 6 to 7 days a week. I could have very easily hired somebody to work on the weekends, but it was my store. It was my baby. I wanted to know every person who was coming in the door. I wanted to see every article of clothing that was coming in. It was my life, and it, you know, it was what dictated everything that I did. And so he reminds me, he's like, it's okay. You did your time. This is your season. Enjoy being home. If the girls have an issue, they will call you. But other than that, like, enjoy the time and enjoy the rewards of the sacrifices that you made for 3 years of working every day. And I don't think that I would be able to be in the position where I am right now, where we can have a full-time staff that does the store and runs the store and manages the store, if I hadn't have put in those years of work where, you know, I built it up and I built the clientele and created the reputation that we have to where it does well enough now to where I can be hands-off for the most part. And it's just, it's a great feeling to know that I have a thriving business, but yet it does not consume me and it doesn't take priority over my family. And I can put my child first as opposed to my business, because I see a lot of people where they don't have that balance because it doesn't produce enough or it doesn't perform as well for them to be able to step off and not be as hands-on. So I'm so grateful for that. And it was worth the sacrifice now looking back to be able to step back and really focus on my kids and my husband and our family.
You've said a lot in the last little bit that I really want to circle back to, but you know, the one thing, just because of what you ended with, you know, you mentioned that there are a lot of people out there, but let's just focus on women and mothers right now who have a business, but maybe it's not performing as well as they need it to in order to be able to bring on that help or take the time off that they need. So would you have any advice for mothers like that or people? Did you have certain tactics or certain things that you did that you felt serviced you really well?
I think what we did is we just kind of crunched the numbers. For us, it was, I was willing to take a cut in like what my take home pay would be from the business. And I was willing to, you know, if I have to hire somebody so many hours a week to keep the business going, then I know that that's stuff or money that we're not bringing home. But for me, it was balancing out, okay, is it worth it for me to be home with my son, take a cut in pay, and have someone else work the store? Or do I need to be at the store and hire a babysitter? Because we don't live around family. Which I know a lot of people are blessed enough to have the grandmas and grandpas nearby that would take care of the kiddos. But for us, we don't have any grandparents here. So I knew I would have to hire somebody anyway to be at home with him. Yeah. And so for me, I was like, well, if I have to hire someone to be with him, I'd rather be the one to be with him, and I will just hire someone to work at our store. So for us, it was really, for our business, it was crunching numbers and just figuring out, okay, what am I okay with? What am I okay without having so that I can be home with my child? And that's, you know, for some people, if that's really all it comes down to is crunching the numbers, you just have to weigh your priorities and be like, okay, what's worth it to me? You know, is it worth it for me to put in all of this time for my business if I'm only bringing home this much? And for me, it was. It was worth it for me to just be home because I had put in the years before. And I was like, you know what? During those 3 years, I never paid an employee. I never had an employee. I got to take all of that home. And, you know, we got to, you know, go on vacations and do the things we wanted to do when we didn't have kids. And now it's that we have a child and my priorities being home with him, I was willing to take that cut and not be able to do the extra vacations and that kind of thing just so I could be home with him. But other than that, I mean, I can't really think of like anything that was like a a huge like light bulb moment that allowed me to be able to be a stay-at-home working mom, besides the fact of as far as the numbers that the store is able to do so that we can hire employees. I don't know if that's super helpful, but...
No, it is. I mean, I think the main thing that I think you should take away from that is what you said about priorities. And, you know, I think that's one thing that having children, especially for women, really does reinforce is your priorities and making sure that they're aligned with what your goals are. But more than that, it's just because of time. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be organized, and you're literally everything you do falls within this list of priorities. And so that, I think, circles back to your daily life, but also to your overarching goals as well. And I feel like it's really easy before you have kids to have, you know, all sorts of crazy goals, but also to be somewhat self-centered in those goals. And as soon as someone, you know, as soon as you're responsible for a second life and you love that life, that child more than you could ever have imagined, it really does realign your priorities, which in some ways I think usually leads to positive change.
Definitely. I mean, because we had a child, it caused us to have to get really good at time management and managing. It's had to expand our management skills because we have a staff now. And prior to having a child, I never had to manage anybody else. And so we're kind of walking through a new season right now of figuring out, okay, now that I'm not in the store every day, how do I still make it run the same, feel the same, inventory stays the same? How can we make it so that it is the same store with or without me there? And that's been a huge challenge, and we've learned a lot just with managing staff, being able to pick the right staff. And to just the time management is so huge. And finding out, like, for one of the biggest things for me that allowed me to work from home is researching different technologies that are out there that allowed me to, you know, with my computer, stay connected to the store so that I don't have to go to the store to run reports or see what the sales were that day or check on inventory. I actually can tag items for the store from my house, which is kind of the setup we have right now, because I'm very... I'm not a micromanager per se, but every article that goes into the store, I still want to see it. That's one aspect of the store I have not let go of yet. And we will be probably in the next year working on me training somebody else on how to do that, because we're actually incredibly ambitious and we want to open up another store. So,
wow.
But we know before we're able to do that, one, because we're having a second child, but two, we know that the current store, there's probably things that we could shore up, and there's things that we really, really have to hone in on and perfect before we go to a second store, because I don't want to be learning all of these management lessons while juggling two stores, two kids. I'd rather just do it with my kids and with one store, make my mistakes there, and then continue to build and grow. So yeah, it really has taught, becoming a mom while owning a business has taught some incredible life skills that we're still figuring out, but we're better for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, you're inspiring to listen to. It sounds like you've got things really well figured out, which is fantastic.
Oh, we try.
So congratulations on that. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't feel that way every day, and I think that's something we really need to check ourselves on, you know, especially as mothers. I feel like I'm often comparing myself to other moms who I perceive to have things really, you know, together, and things are operating really smoothly. And I'm like, how does she do that? It's so frustrating, because I really don't feel like I'm there. But, you know, I think we really need to learn not to compare how we feel on the inside to how someone looks on the outside.
Absolutely. Usually what we see on Instagram or Facebook or any social media is the edited version of what we want people to see.
Absolutely, for sure. So it sounds like for you, finding the perfect stuff was really key to your success.
As far as inventory goes?
Well, no, just in terms of being able to run and operate the store the way you wanted, the way you would do it yourself. I mean, I feel like that would be somewhat challenging to find that perfect person.
It is. That, of owning a business, that the staff and the employees and the vetting process of interviewing people, that has probably been our biggest learning curve because, mm-hmm. I mean, the store is like another child. Sometimes it probably feels like a stepchild because it gets ignored. but it really is. I mean, you are handing and entrusting somebody else to your business and running your business. And they're the ones who are interacting with our clients on a day-to-day basis. And so it is a little nerve-wracking whenever it comes time to hire somebody. This summer, we had two of our longtime employees move on to bigger and better things, which we're so excited for them. One of them is going to school down in LA for art, and another one is pursuing becoming a birthing coach, midwife. We're so excited for them because we know that for them, that's their life goals. And so we knew that we would never keep them forever, but even though we hoped that we would. So we just recently had to go through the process of hiring more employees and doing the interviews and finding some that worked. And then, you know, the hard part of finding people where you think they're going to work and they don't, and you have to fire or correct problems. But having staff and hiring and firing is probably the hardest part of the job. It's the part that I wish I could just skip and duplicate myself, or that's what gets me into the micromanage. Like, oh, I'll just do everything myself because I don't want to hand that much of the business over to somebody else. But if, you know, that just challenges us to become better managers and to invest in ourselves to be able to pull the best out in other people so that they do become everything that we hope for, if not more. Like one of the gals that we have on right now, she is the hardest worker I know, and she gets so much more done than I ever get done because she has way more focus than I do. And I go into the store and I get distracted by like five or six different things because I haven't been there for so long. Yeah. Whereas she can, on a day-to-day basis, just go in and jam out all of these projects and constantly sending me new ideas and ways that we can improve the store, which I'm so grateful for. And I think it's hard to find in an employee someone who doesn't treat it like a job, but they treat it as if it's their own store and their own business, which is really hard to find. And when you do find people like that, that treat it like their own, those are gold. You know, they're gems that do whatever you have to do to hold on to them because they are few and far between to be able to find someone that will treat it like their own. Because that's ultimately what you want, is you want someone who can treat it like your own because you can't be there and you can't even treat it like your own because you're too busy. So yeah, that is got to be the hardest, but it is the most stretching, and that's really where you will learn the most and how you will probably end up growing the business the best is by your employees and the staff and how that they treat your business and how they interact with your clients.
Absolutely. But it sounds like to me, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, that the number one way to do that is to really treat your employees like family, really. But more than that is to have the confidence to hand over the responsibility and show them that you trust in their abilities and their skills and that you have faith in their outcome. But then, you know, just really valuing them, you know, to me, that's the number one thing.
Absolutely. And it gives them confidence when you entrust something so important to them. And you just let them run with it. It really does boost their confidence. Like, wow, she's letting me do this, or she's, you know, given me this responsibility, which is really important. And when they do something well, or when they, you know, are able to accomplish that task, praising them and letting them know, hey, this is amazing. So that they have the confidence to keep going in that, but then also have the confidence to continue to come up with new ideas on how to grow the business. And that's what I love seeing, is that the girls will come to me and be like, hey, I had this idea, you know, could we try this? And then I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. And if it bombs, oh well. And if it does amazing, yay. Like, you found something new that I haven't had the time to be able to figure out. And it gives them that sense of ownership of making it their own, and it really makes it a fun place for them because they get to be creative and they get to explore different ideas and try things out. And, you know, not every idea is a great idea, but most of the time, I would say they're amazing. We get incredible response. And I love that it comes from someone other than myself, that I didn't have to think about that. I didn't have to come up with a marketing idea. It came from, you know, within our own staff, because they love our business and they themselves want to see it grow, which is really, I mean, that's the best thing, you know, a boss could ask for, is that someone would want to see your business succeed and not just put in their time card of 9 to 5 or whatever the hours are, but really make it their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think anytime you get more than one person's perspective and experiences into something, into a project, into a business, whatever it may be, it can't help but thrive, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden you just have more to throw at it. So it can't help but succeed, you know, get better a little bit each time, as long as it's under the proper leadership, which it sounds like your business absolutely is. So, you know, one of the things that I heard you comment on as well is, this idea of managing your time better now that you have a child. And I think that's something we all experience, because it's not just your business, it's life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's crazy how those little ones, especially in the early days when you're just getting, you're feeling your way through this, it's just crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, it took me 3 hours to just to leave the house.
Or you just don't leave the house. Because
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's all compounded when you have your own business, because if you don't find a way to get to those things, nobody does, and then, you know, your business cannot flourish. So what are the ways that you've found that help you stay organized and on task?
That's a hard question, because I really am horrible at time management.
Well, you can't be that bad, because you've managed to do so much. So,
I would say probably our biggest thing is my husband and I kind of have this, like, I mean, we're in this together as a team. He, you know, like I said, he works a full-time job, but we really are, as far as the business goes, is we look at it as how can we help each other, as opposed to that's your thing, this is my thing. So what we kind of have figured out as far as our flow goes for the different tasks that I have to do for the store is when he comes home from work, we have our family time. And then I get, you know, at least an hour or two at night to jam mm-hmm. out shop stuff. If I have shop stuff I have to do. And so we've kind of like, that's what when I go through the day, I'm like, okay, I know I can get all this done at night, or I try and maximize my son's nap times, by getting stuff done in those 1 to 2 hours when he's sleeping in the afternoon. But really, I mean, the biggest thing is just having a partnership with my husband and having the understanding of, you know, we do what we need to do, to get it done, whether that be he'll pop into the shop sometimes and get these little tasks done. He's amazing. He is willing to take out the trash. He washes the windows. Like, he's one of those guys where he doesn't have pride or anything like that when it comes to doing tasks, if it means it helps the store and it helps the business.
Great.
Because he knows if the business does well, we do well. And that means mm-hmm. I can stay home, and he enjoys business and he enjoys brainstorming with me. I mean, the only other thing that has really allowed me to be hands-on with the shop is, I mean, a babysitter, I guess.
Yeah.
Which are few and far between for me. It is incredibly hard to find a babysitter during the day. But yeah, I mean, just taking those moments and being productive with them, it's really mm-hmm. easy for me to, you know, when my son goes down for a nap, like, oh, this is my time to sit down and turn a TV show on, which sometimes I will do, but usually it's with my computer in hand and I'm checking in on the shop, emailing back and forth. I'll send the text messages to the girls throughout the day just to keep my pulse on the store so I know what's going on. But really just taking advantage of those windows where, you know, either someone else is taking care of the baby or they're sleeping and I know I have at least an hour, and just in that hour being as productive as possible.
Yeah.
But that's probably, because my son is so incredibly active, there's no way that I could do anything while he's there. I stop taking him into the store because it just turns into chaos while we are there.
Yeah, I know.
Or I'll go into the store hand him over and be like, okay, this is your job for the next hour. Keep my son entertained. I am going to watch the store. I'll ring up any sales if needed, but I have to get this done. So I trade off. You know, I'll just bring him into the store because I'm paying him for their time. So it's the same as if I were to hire a babysitter. Just hand him over so that I can have a little bit of window in the store where I'm able to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned as well that there's some technology that you rely on that sort of helps you keep your day organized and that your workflow moving. So what are the top things that you're using right now that are helping you do that?
We found a program, actually, one of our web development buddies told us about when we were telling him we were having challenges with just staying on top of the store. And I used to have to go into the store every time I needed to tag. And he told us about a program called TeamViewer, which basically just allows you to kind of tether to another computer where you can, I can log in and actually see what's on the computer screen at the store.
Okay.
So that I can log on and do everything I need to do at the store as if I were physically there, but I'm sitting on my couch at home. So since we discovered that program, it's just released so much time because I don't have to physically be in the store to access the computer, to access my, you know, reporting and that kind of thing, which is great because my shop is 25 minutes from my home. So, you know, taking a quick trip down there is not a quick trip. That's
exactly
an hour just in drive time. So that's really for us been huge. And since we found that program, we found it just a few weeks after my son was born when we were trying to figure out some kind of way to allow me to still work but not have to go to the store every day. So that really for us has been a huge, and I know there's other programs out there that do the exact same thing, but that's just the one that he suggested and we found. So that really honestly is the one program that I use every day, that keeps me on pulse with the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really incredible asset for you. I can only imagine how much of a difference that made. So one question I'm curious about is what were your expectations during pregnancy about how you would run, how you would continue to run your business after your child was born?
I honestly thought that when I was pregnant, because I was such a workaholic, I mean, like I said, I worked up until the day before he was born. Part of that was because it helped distract me from the pregnancy and it made the time go by faster. And he was 8 days late, so I was incredibly anxious. So I always thought that having a business and then when we got pregnant, I thought I was going to be one of those that, you know, would want to work all the time and that I would be okay with working and leaving, you know, my son with a babysitter. And I told, you know, when people would ask, I would say, oh yeah, I'll take a few weeks off, but I'll start working again. No problem. And that really was my mindset because work had been all that I knew. I mean, that was my life for so many years. And I didn't realize how quickly the time was going to go by. And, you know, the month I had with my son, when he was first born, I couldn't believe how quickly he was growing and changing. And, you know, I would miss, you know, the smiles and the whatnot. And so when it came time where my husband asked, he's like, oh, do you want to put yourself back on the schedule? What are you thinking? And I just, you know, I would sit there and be like, oh my gosh, like I couldn't imagine not being home with my son every day. And so it kind of really did turn into this really extended maternity leave, where I ended up never putting myself back on the schedule. And not to say I wasn't working, but I just was not, I didn't have those, okay, Laura's in the shop from 10 to 12 today. Like I just made it so I wasn't on the schedule per se, but I was still working, but just not those designated hours every day. I knew I would be away from my little guy because he just grew up too fast. And that took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. I thought definitely within a month or two, I would be back in full swing, ready to go. But, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I wouldn't trade those days. And there's days where I wish I could go to the store. There's so many days, you know, just through the motherhood thing of where I wish I could just have someone come hang out with my son because I need to get out of here and I need to go and be an adult and do adult things and not change a million diapers every day. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I get my little moments of reprieve where I get a babysitter or I'll trade, you know, Carrie and I trade every once in a while with childcare so that we can both get work done and have adult time, which is great.
Yeah. I know, absolutely. And, you know, I can really relate to that feeling of, you know, thinking that you were just going to jump right back into things because that's who you were before having a child. You really self-identified with your work and with, you know, with everything that you did on a daily basis. And you just can't imagine your life not looking that way. And you just sort of expect your child to fit into that. And nothing, you're right. I mean, nothing can prepare you. But I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to be fine. This is going to be no problem. I can do this. And of course you are fine and you can do it, but you're just really not prepared for how involved you are and how engrossed you are, really. I remember thinking, asking some of my friends, what do you do all day, you know, when you have your child? And I thinking it must be so boring. And then realizing afterwards that it's anything but, and you really can stare into those little eyes all day. And it shocks you at first. And I don't think I checked email for almost 6 weeks in a way. And I know that we pushed off the launch of our next issue by a full 2 months. And I was worried, thinking it would crumble my business. But at the end of the day, no one said anything. And so I think, you know, it really is about giving yourself permission to make the necessary changes. But, you know, I wanted to ask you as well, moving that from that transition of working so much and really identifying and loving your business like you did and still do, but you know, it really defined to a large degree who you were. How did you reconcile who you were then with who you are now? Like, what was that process like for you? Was it pretty seamless with the introduction of your child, or did you feel like you needed some time to sort of work through that?
It was a hard transition. I mean, I remember having those days where my husband would come home and we would, you know, I'd hand my son off to him because, you know, those days where you're just like, I'm done being a mom right now. It was hard because I was so used to having my own independence, really. And that's really what it was. It's kind of like when you get married, where you have to adjust to being married and you have to adjust to running, you know, things by somebody else. And you're not just able to go out and do what you want to do when you want to do it. And that was what it was like. It was kind of like going through that same transition when I had my son of, okay, I can't just jump in the car and go wherever I want to go, whenever I want to go. And that was hard. And I think it's one of those things you never really, truly, you know, adjust to that. It's kind of a constant adjustment and tweaking as you go, because different seasons call for different, levels of you being involved or not involved. But I do remember it being incredibly hard because my husband would, you know, he'd come home from work and his career, and I'd ask him how his day went, and there'd be different things going on. And I was like, you know, and I missed that. I missed the excitement of being involved in the business all the time and having different encounters. Whereas every, a lot of those seasons with motherhood is you're going through the same thing every single day. And there really is not a lot of variation. He gets up at 7, I change his diaper, I feed him breakfast, he takes another nap, or, you know, it's like, it's a very consistent schedule, which sometimes is really hard, because it just feels like the days run into each other sometimes. And that was hard for me. And it was hard to just not have that, feeling of being able to kind of dictate my own days, and they really were dictated by his sleep schedule, because I would not give up those hours of nap time for anything. And that always confused me before I had a child. Like, we would be out for some gathering at night with family and friends, and the people who had kids always left early. And I was like, I do not want to be one of those parents. They leave at 8 o'clock because they have to put their child down for bed. I was like, involve them in your life, make them stick to your schedule. But once I understood why they did that, because if you let your child go past their bedtime, they turn into little hellions.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was like, oh, this is why they did this. And this, they stick to a schedule. I totally understand. It's like how you were saying earlier, how people don't understand what it's like to have a business until you have one of your own. You don't know how involved it is and how much you're attached to it. It's like having a child. You don't know what it's like to be a parent until you're a parent. You can observe and you can speculate as much as you want. You can make your own grandiose plans of how it's going to be, but you really don't know what it's like until you step into those shoes and experience it for yourself. I think it's a constant, like, finding the balance and listening to myself. And my husband's constantly reminding me, like, hey, why don't you get a sitter for like 2 hours sometime this week, just so you can go and have some time to yourself and do whatever you want to do, whether that be you go to the store and you work and you put some hours in, or you go get a coffee, or you go, you know, just wander around town by yourself. It's like, just make that time so that you don't get to the end of the day frustrated that it just seems like another day where you're not doing anything, you're not pursuing things that really interest you. So my husband really has been my cheerleader in that way.
That's great. Kind of,
I really do feel blessed with that, because I know that that's not the case for everybody. But he really has tried to encourage me to just take that time for myself more and more, so that I don't get into that, I don't know what you'd call it, just monotonous day-to-day stuff when it comes to having toddlers, of the day-to-day. And because he'll come home and he'll see that look in my eyes and he's like, you need a break. You need some time to yourself. It was definitely a hard transition. And I think it's still something that I, depending on the day and how it's gone and how the store is doing, it's something that I'm constantly reevaluating.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's something as well, what you said before about the frustration. I think when you have your own business and you're a mom, somehow that it seems to be magnified, because you have two things on your brain all the time, but you can only do one at that particular moment. And you find, I find, you know, when I'm working on my business, frustrated at sometimes that I'm not with my little one. Her name's Charlie. She's 18 months. Or if I'm with Charlie, I'm thinking of all the emails I'm not getting to, or all the things that need to get done and just aren't. And so finding a way to deal with that frustration is so key. And it's a journey, absolutely. I mean, you can't just come up, wake up one day and have an answer for it. It's just how you manage it is really key. But it sounds, you know, I'm lucky. Same with you. I really value my partner, my husband. He's really helped me weather all of this and grow through it, which is invaluable. So I'm happy that you have a similar experience. Now, I just have one more thing that I want to ask you just before we wrap up, because I do have to run home to Charlie. What would your best piece of advice be to others who are thinking about trying to grow a business simultaneously as having a small child?
I really do think that you have to set your priorities and you have to stick with them. And if anything ever changes that, then something has to give. We can't do it all. We can't juggle everything. And there's always something that's going to have to give. There's always something that's going to fall through the cracks and not be done maybe the best way it's supposed to be done. And you have to decide ahead of time, because you are going to have to make those decisions and you are going to cross those bridges.
Yeah.
And you just have to decide what your priorities are. I think for most, if they were to answer that question, it would be family first. For others, it might not be. But if the family is first, you have to decide if these certain decisions or certain aspects of your business that you're wanting to grow or change, how is it going to affect that? And really, I think just taking the time ahead of time to go through as much as you can, because obviously there's things that happen that are unforeseen and you can't control until you start walking it out. But I think if you kind of have a set list of priorities ahead of time and what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're not willing to sacrifice, it makes as those decisions come, it just makes it easier to decide yes or no, or to what extent you're going to pursue that, because you already have your set. If it doesn't line up with this, we're not going to do it. Or if it takes this much time away, it's not worth it. And it just makes it easier if you kind of have that laid out ahead of time. If you are married, have that agreement with your spouse of what that's going to look like, so that, you know, when the opportunity does arise for a new opportunity or, you know, a different venture that you could pursue, it's like, okay, that's a great idea, but how is it going to fit into this many hours of the day, these other things that we have going on, and how is it going to make us have to readjust our priorities? It's just taking the time and not being so reactionary, kind of having a set kind of goal or list ahead of time of what you're about and what your vision is and what your goals as a family are. And it just makes it easier, because when those things do come along, it's like, guy, that's a great idea, but honestly, I just cannot fit one more thing into my day. Or if I do want to do that, something else has got to go. It's just like going through your closet. If something's in, something's got to go out. And so you just have to know what you're willing to get rid of and what you're willing to take on.
Absolutely. I think that's a really wise answer. And, you know, the one thing that I really heard out of what you said is doing, you know, you can't do it all, and you have to know that before going into it, because if you don't, it just is infinitely harder. And so being able to really look at things objectively and figure out if that's something that fits with your priorities and with your goals, then great. But if it's not, then just don't do it. And that's, I think, then one of the number one things for sure, to be able to do this successfully. Well, Laura, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed it. I can't believe an hour has gone by. I feel like I could talk to you forever about this.
You're so welcome, Celine. This was really a pleasure.
So that concludes our first episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little longer than I was aiming for, but we got along so well that the time flew by before I knew it. Since we're just launching the show, if you enjoyed our first episode, I'd love your help getting it out there. Head on over to puregreenmag.com/podcast/Laura Lee, where you'll find tweetable links and other shareable content, along with that beautiful imagery I mentioned earlier. Subscribe to the show in iTunes and share your review and feedback. It means a lot to us. iTunes ratings are invaluable in helping us grow and improve the show, help new listeners discover us, and help us attract great future guests. Thanks so much again for listening. If you enjoyed the contents of this episode, try a subscription to Pure Green. Just log on to puregreenmag.com/subscribe. See you next week.